go out the door without putting on the full armor of God.
Armor? Huh?
The enemy comes attacking, and we've got to be ready and prepared. Soldiers, are you ready?
Ready!
Attention! On our heads, we place the helmet of salvation, knowing we're saved today and every day. On our chest, the breastplate of righteousness, knowing we've got you inside us, Lord Jesus. Round our waist, the belt of truth, that we tell the truth all this day and have the truth in us. Our feet, fitted with the readiness to spread the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one hand, we have the sword, which is the word of God, and we thank you for your word, Lord. In the other hand, the shield of faith, with which we can fight off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we're ready to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We thank you, Lord.
Here and gathered again today on a Friday evening.
We're still talking about the armor of God, and if you can hear me, give me an amen. So, yeah, I know y'all there. Okay, so we're still talking about the armor of God, and what is the last piece we're going to talk about tonight? Can someone give me the answer? Y'all should know it by heart. There we go. Yeah, we're talking about shoes. It's kind of funny, you know, I was thinking about this sermon yesterday, which is kind of funny. Guess what me and my wife were doing? We were shopping for shoes. She was looking at shoes because she loves shoes. And, of course, I had to get a new pair of tennis shoes because I need some work shoes. And so we went from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store. And, I mean, you just can't help it. But, you know, I'm not going to say nothing bad against y'all ladies. But, like my wife, she is a shoe junkie. She loves to get shoes and shoes and shoes. Me, I'm only happy and content with just one pair, you know. So, but that was so funny, you know. I was thinking, walking around, looking at all the shoes, and said, that's what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night. So as I was thinking, when I was writing this message, because I told y'all, you know, last Friday, this Friday, we're going to be talking about shoes. But as I was thinking when writing this message, how to start this off. I kind of took a little joke at it about shoes, but I was going to add a lot of shoe puns or jokes or ramble off about shoes. That's how I was going to kind of do it, but I kind of wanted to really get right into this, and you know, and I was thinking, okay, well, how can I really start off this kind of a message, you know? So what I ended up doing, you know, I kind of started, we all do it, we kind of got to World Wide Web and the internet. So I started looking around on the internet, you know, and I found this story. And to me, you know, it was so true to me. And most likely it may be for you also. You know, I'm not saying it will be or not, but when I read it, you know, it was true to me. And the story went like this. There was a time in the life of Martin Luther, and I'm pretty sure many of y'all know who that is, that his conflict with Satan was so real that he says that he picked up his little inkwell that was sitting on his desk and he threw it at the devil. The ink stain remained on the wall for years as a reminder of the reality of that conflict. You know, and I thought about that, you know, and I really gave some deep thought, folks, and I believe we can all relate to this. We are all engaged in a conflict with the enemy of God, the enemy of Christ, the enemy of our souls, the enemy of truth. I'm pretty sure we all can agree with that. We are in conflict with that. See, that conflict, my friends, is real. And it's real because we who are a part of the kingdom of God, we who are the slaves of Jesus Christ, we who are the soldiers of Christ, as it were, are in enemy territory. That's it. We're in enemy territory. Folks, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world. He and his minions, his demons, which constitute a third of the angels, run their wicked anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-truth, anti-life systems through this world. As long as you and I are here, my friends, we are engaged in that battle. We're in that battle. And to me, and this is just me speaking, I don't want no one to become offended by me saying this, but to me, I see this battle more pronounced today, more than ever, to me, than it has been in the past. Yes, it happened in the past, and people fought that battle. But I think now, with the new age stuff that we got, smartphones, earbuds, podcasts, internets, smart TVs, commercials, Hollywood music, radio, you name it. Satan's junk, his message, is more bombarded at us and is attacking us at all fronts. And, you know, we kind of made another little joke because, you know, you already knew I just recently traded in my 2015 Volkswagen Beetle into a 2019. And one interesting thing I found about it, because, man, this thing got all kind of gadgets. It's got gadgets out the yang-yang. I'm still reading the manual trying to figure all this stuff out. Touchscreen iPads and all this other stuff. But one important security feature, which I find very interesting, my wife kind of made a little chuckle at a joke last night about it, was this, that the security feature on this car, and you don't have to have the key into the ignition. It don't even have a slot to put the key in there. It's just that that car has a microchip, and it has to sense the presence of this remote. If that remote ain't nowhere near that car or in that car, no matter what you do to it, no matter how you try to bypass that push-button switch or whatever, that car is not going to start. Period. That car's not going to start. You have to have the other piece to connect to that micro, whatever they call it, that microchip. And she kind of threw a joke at she said, this kind of sounds like the New World Order, you know, when Satan's going to use, he's going to control everything like that. You know, that, people speculate about that. I'm not going to get into that. But you know what? Again, I thought about that. I said, you know, you're kind of right. You know, because the reality of it, to me, the reality of this is that Satan is using all kinds of stuff to attack you and I. And this is why, again, you know, I was led this direction doing the series messages on the armor of God. And I think, folks, to me, more important now, and I'm not sure how you got some of the stuff out of these previous messages, but it makes you think more how important it is for us to stand firm. To stand firm against the wiles of the devil, to stand firm against the stuff of the world, to stand firm against all these attacks that's coming at us. Because, you know, it's getting more pronounced, and we're seeing things in church, and I was just kind of talking a little bit earlier, you know, another possible sermon I'm working on, I'm going to call that sermon, whenever I get it put together, it's called Rotten Christians. And I'm naming it that way because, again, it's the stuff that's happening in churches. And I was talking to a lady in church just this past Wednesday night, and we was talking about something with the Jews and the Gentiles. And I kind of told her, I said, you know what? If you really think about it, that kind of segregation, the separation, if you want to call it, a lot of Jews didn't want to have nothing to do with the Gentiles, especially the Samaritan people. But I said, if you think about it, a lot of that's going on in modern day churches today. If you're not part of that clique group, then you're not part of that church at all. You're not part of them. You're separated from them. And I, you know, and I told her that, and I said, you know, dear, I said, when I think about that, and I was just reading about that in Luke, you know, I'm not pronouncing it right, but secretaryism. Jesus was talking about that. But mainly what he was saying, you know, what that is boiling down to is someone else is proclaiming Jesus, but let's just say they are of another sect. Or their denomination might be a little bit different or whatever. But the disciples were a little bit upset and telling Jesus, look at them! Look at them! They're doing this in your name. They're doing that and they're doing this, but they're not part of us. And we're just kind of talking a little bit about it, but see what Jesus did? He straightened them up real quick. Look, wait a minute. Leave them alone. If they are for me, they are with us, but if they're against me, they're not part of me. So why should we start treating other people this way, especially in churches? And I'm seeing this in churches because, again, people are so afraid of the truth that if you, another, you know, land in a Calvinistic camp or land in a Presbyterian camp or you land in a Methodist camp or you probably a Catholic or a Pentecostal or whatever, we don't want nothing to do with you because you don't believe in what we believe in. But folks, we're not living the truth. So I used to think like that in my early ministry. I did. But the Lord had to deal with me one night. Jim, we're all the same. And if you and I believe in the core belief, the truth in Jesus Christ, salvation at the cross, then you're not the enemy of the cross. Now, just because we may have doctrinal issues, that's no reason for you to get mad or so upset and say you don't have nothing to do with me. But we're seeing that in churches today. You see, again, my friends, we're not standing on truth. Why? Because we don't have the proper shoes on. We don't have the proper shoes on. And see, and that's why, folks, in verse 10 we read, and I like how it says that in our reading verses tonight, but verse 10 reads, said, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Do you see what I'm trying to say right now at this particular point? Because even if he can get us to hate each other, I don't want nothing to do with that guy because he's a Calvinist. I don't want nothing to do with you, Lisa, because you're a Presbyterian. And I'm just using this as an example, please. But you see where I'm going with this? We should be unified together in Christ. We should be loving one another in Christ. We should be showing grace and mercy and forgiveness to one another in Christ. But yet, many in churches today are not acting Christ-like. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes. I believe in Jesus, but I get offended when you talk about something or you use an illustration or something or you use media tools or whatever. I can't stand that. And you go running off to the pastor or something, you go running off to other members of the church or the family and you become mad at them. And I don't want to have nothing to do with that brother. Well, let me tell you something to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. We're not exhibiting real Christ-likeness. Because again, we're not standing on truth. You got to understand this, folks. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And you keep reading on, it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist the devil or the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm. Now, she just posted the verses for you. I know there's a lot of verses that can't stick in the wind and they kind of scroll up. But, you know, if you got your Bibles, again, we're reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. This has been our verse for the last several weeks. And tonight, this is going to be the last message because we're going to complete the armor of God. But it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. And listen to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice that word, peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I ask of you just to be with us for this little time. And thank you for allowing us to have this technology. Thank you for these kind folks who showed up here tonight. Again, I was thinking about them. You know what? They could have went elsewhere. They could have found better use of their time. They didn't really have to be here. They're not required to be here. Father, I'm not begging for them to be here, but they decided to come here to hear this message. Whether the message is for me or for them, I don't know. I have struggles too, Father, and I know where I have to stand, and I know there's difficulties out there, and I sometimes wonder, you know, should I just stop? You know, should I just kind of back off? Should I just kind of sit down like a bump on a log and do nothing? And right now, he is messing with my head. He is fighting me, and he's tearing at me, and he is struggling. Again, I have to try to keep looking up to you, but yet I keep dealing with all these things. But, you know, as I was rereading the message and kind of changing it at the last moment, and knowing that we have to stand firm. We have to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of the truth, the good news, news of our salvation. And it's more needed now than ever, but apparently there's people out there who cannot really soak in the truth. They cannot really listen to what you have to say without becoming offended or bent out of shape or whatever, and I just don't get it, and I still don't get it. But all I can do is say I hope their hearts mature, and they finally said, you know what, I was not acting in a Christ-like manner in dealing with this person or that person. So I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them. Put the hedge of protection around them. Help them with their difficulties. Help them with their battles. Help them with their situation, whatever it may be. That we're going to trust you and rely on you, and we want to give all the honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. And that's why I titled this message again, and it is the last part of the armor of God, but I call this message tonight the Gospel Shoes of Peace. Now, you heard me make some shoe jokes earlier, so I was thinking, shoes. What are they? Well, they are important, wouldn't you think? I mean, some of you, I know down here in Louisiana is extremely hot, but if you walked out there barefooted on a hot paved road right now in 100-degree heat, wouldn't some of you be going, ooh, ouch, ooh, ooh, hot, ooh, it's hot, ooh. And you got to run back in the house and grab your shoes on in order to walk out there, wouldn't you? Or especially, I don't think some of you will walk out there barefoot in the snow like, ooh, it's cold. I got to go get my boots on. But shoes are important. They bring us comfort to our feet, don't they? Shoes help you stand on firm ground. Shoes help you keep from slipping. You know, rubber boots keep your feet dry when it's raining. So, I mean, there's pretty applications to shoes. And if they are important, and think about this, you know, I didn't think about that until I was watching something on television about the Olympics. But if, even then, if they are important in an athletic contest, or football games, baseball games, whatever, they're certainly important, and you think about this, in some kind of hand-to-hand mortal combat. Also, armies, if you think about this too, has been defeated for lack of shoes. Now, you might be kind of like, huh? Armies has been defeated for lack of shoes. I'm not that much of a history buff, but I do like reading things about history. And have you read that in history about shoes? How it changed the battle from one way or the other? See, if you know enough about history, even in the American Revolution or Revolutionary War, and I found this, you know, interesting. But if you know enough about history in the American Revolutionary War, one of the greatest problems in the Revolutionary War when the Americans were trying to fight against the British was, and pay attention to this, was they were barefoot because their shoes were worn out. You wouldn't think about that. If you look at history, you think about the American Revolutionary War, but you never thought about a critical piece of item in that war was shoes. It was difficult because their shoes were worn out. Like, really? See, you know from the old adage, for the want of a nail, the kingdom was lost. Kind of like, huh? Again, you know what that is about. For the want of the nail, basically, the shoe was lost. For the want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of the horse, the soldier was lost. For the want of the soldier, the kingdom was lost. How you shod yourself is very important. See, the Romans understood that. They understood that to a clarity. They understood it very well. See, the Romans, they understood that it was essential to make sure that the soldier, with everything else he had on, and particularly because what he was carrying and wearing was relatively heavy, that he should or could stabilize himself. And remember, now, what we're talking about, please, if you go back to the beginning of verse 14, is standing firm. Look at it, standing firm. And back then, with them, with all their stuff that they're carrying, getting ready to go in battle, my friends, slipping is not good in hand-to-hand combat. You remember back then, a lot of those wars, they didn't fight the way we fight today with tanks and guns and airplanes and everything. Most of that fighting was done hand-to-hand. So if you were fighting hand-to-hand, slipping was not very good. In fact, if you slipped, you probably lost your life. But see, in Roman times, there are historical accounts of long marches. The Roman army, amazingly, had long marches over terrible terrain and wearing out the leather in their shoes. And I looked into this, and historians tell us that it took the toll in thousands of lives in battle. Proper shoes were essential because if you were not firm on the ground, it doesn't matter what you can do. Your whole body would be immediately debilitated, or in other words, your whole body would be brought down fast because you were not standing firm. Shoes are vital. Now, the Roman soldiers, what they did, generally they wore a very tough sandal. Very, very tough leather with straps holding it firmly on. And what they did was, they pounded nails from the inside of the shoe through the bottom, thick hob nails, studs like a football shoe or a baseball shoe or a soccer shoe. And what that did, folks, that gave the soldier the ability to stand firm in his footing as he was engaged in the fight to either run up the hill or run down the hill without slipping and sliding. Now, many commentators, you know, if you look at some commentators, many commentators have said what this means when you read that passage, that you have what they call a symbolic call to evangelism. They borrow that idea from Romans chapter 10, verse 15. That's where they borrow this idea from when Paul was talking about that, having standing firm. And notice the part in Romans 10:15 where it says, blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news. Which is also, folks, a quote from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. See, that's where he's quoting that. He's actually pointing you back to Old Testament scriptures when he's quoting that in Romans 10, 15. But see, in Romans 10, 15, and the feet of those who preach the good news is not, my friends, again, I've done research on this and I could be wrong. If I am, hey, I'd be willing to entertain the idea, but looking into this when preparing this message, the feet of those who preach the good news is not a verse to explain this is a call to evangelism. Oh, no. Oh, no. You see, in the first place, my folks, it also has nothing to do with warfare. It has nothing to do with shoes. That's just saying to the people who hear the gospel, will bless the people who brought it to them. I gotta back this up a little bit. You mean all this is just talking about those who hear the gospel will be blessed by those who brought it to them? You think about it. If they are saved, that is a big blessing, isn't it? It was for me. How about you? Now, also, you pay attention to reading these scriptures. Paul is not talking about going anywhere. That's what he's not talking about. He's not talking about transversing to any place. He's not talking about taking the gospel to anyone. He's talking about standing and not going. The issue is not evangelism here, folks. The issue is, and I think it's where a lot of people have struggles and they falter in. The issue is taking a firm stand in a battle against the devil as he assaults our lives. This is the issue. It's not about going out and preach. It's about taking a stand against the devil as he assaults our lives. See, it's like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13. Notice what it says right there. Watch fast in the faith, or watch stand fast. I love that one. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. See, why does it say run, hide? Oh, I can't present the gospel to no one. I can't handle all these things no more. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but right there, it's clearly stating to us, and this is aimed at us, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong regardless of the attacks that's coming at you. And the only way to do that is to properly shod your feet with the right shoes so you can stand firm like those Roman soldiers without slipping, without sliding, without moving, grabbing a hold of solid foundation. And that foundation is in Jesus Christ. That's where the strong foundation comes from. But what is it that can allow the believer to stand unflinching, take his stand and never slip, never slide, never fall under attack? What is it that gives us firm footing? What is it? What gives us firm footing? Can somebody answer that for me, please? Anyone? I know you got to think about that with us, but what gives us that firm footing? to me is having your feet prepared with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, my friend. So what does that mean? What does it really mean? Well, the gospel of peace is the gospel. Sometimes called the gospel of Christ. It's sometimes called the gospel of God. Like in Romans chapter 1, if you read through that. And here in the scriptures, it's called the gospel of peace. And as I said, what is the gospel of peace? To me, in layman's terms, it is the good news that you have made peace with God. You had made peace with God. And that essentially, my friends, is the theme of the opening verses of Romans chapter 5. See, look at this in Romans 5 verse 1. Just look at this one verse. And I like it how it says that right there. Having been justified by faith, we have, and here's the word, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with Christ. And what does that mean to be at peace with God? Simply, it means, and the best way I'm going to sum this up, it means, folks, to have peace with God means that God is not our enemy, but God is our strength. You see, my friends, when you were sinners and I was the sinners, all of us who were not born again were under the wrath of God. We were damned. Now, I know that might step from some people's toes because I mentioned that once to someone else. I don't like how you use it like that, Jim, saying that we were all condemned already, that we were all damned. You know, I don't like how you just pull out some verses just like that. Well, I'm sorry, but that's what's written in the Bible. And yet you get mad at me when I say it like that. Well, the fact was, each one of us, before we came to know Jesus Christ, we were condemned and damned already. We were under the wrath of God. That's what Christ did for us on the cross by shedding his blood, setting us free from that wrath, and gave us the peace. That's what he did for us. And all this takes you right back to Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 10. It brings us all right back to that one verse. Be ye strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Folks, what that basically means, he's on our side. He's not against us. He's not against us. And you and I, we stand firm because we know that we are really invincible with Jesus Christ. The enemy cannot hurt us. He cannot harm us. He cannot do nothing to us. Yes, we go through many things, many valleys, many tribulations, many perils, many distress, harm, sicknesses, disease, pain, you name it. But still, we are invincible with Jesus Christ. And yes, Satan may come at us, tempting us one way or the other. We are firm in the great truth that we are at peace with God. And therefore, God is on our side. And I think that's what was in Peter's mind when he grabbed that sword in the garden and he whacked off the first available ear. And he was getting ready to go through the whole crowd and probably do the same. But what made him feel strong at that particular point? This man who could so easily be a coward. What made him strong? Well, you read the scriptures, you see what made him strong. Jesus. Jesus was standing right beside him, right there on that spot. And what had Jesus done when all that went on? And I love this. I love the power he demonstrated. He declared his identity, and the entire crowds of hundreds of people fell over flat when he spoke the words, "I am he that you seek." Boom! They all fell down when he says, "I am." God himself was right there. Now, that would leave Peter the impression, hey, okay, I'm pretty safe here. Man, look, he just knocked him over by saying, "I am he who you seek." And he pulled out, boy, I mean, he got swell-headed, and he pulled out the sword because he knew who was on his side, and he knew what kind of power he had, and I think a few of us would go berserk if we knew the power that we got. All we need is Christ, and we can stand against everything that Satan has to bring. So if you go into battle against Satan, and if you're not sure where you stand with Christ, if you got doubts, I hate to say, you're very vulnerable. You're very vulnerable. Now, if you're standing firm in Christ Jesus and know he is truth, and fear not as he tells us to, then folks, you got nothing to fear. And another item I was reading was asked by this person as I was trying to find something about shoes. And this person asked another gentleman, Martin Luther says, "Do you fear what the devil can do to you?" And he replied, "No. No, I don't. Because I know who is on my side and whose side that I am on. I have made peace with God. God is on my side with a full power that he brings to bear on behalf of his own in defending us." Wow. We should not fear. We have that power. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Do you have God on your side? Do you want to be triumphant in your Christian life? In the past messages that I have spoken on, we looked at the whole armor of God and how the pieces of armor helps us to understand what it means. Ask yourself, first of all, with regard to the whole armor of God, do you really want to win? Do you really want to win? Come on, folks, do you really want to win? And how much does it matter to you? How much does it matter to you? Have you made your peace with God? And are you standing firm with him in all that you are facing right now in your life? And are you at peace and serving him till the very end of your journey? Sadly, I see this though also. If you are content to live the low ground, if you're content to live with your pretty sins, I'm calling some people out. If you're content with your marginal commitment to worship, with your indifferences to the things of God, Well, my friends, you will lose. And you'll lose repeatedly. And you'll lose severely. Now, you're not going to lose your salvation, mind you. But you're going to render yourself virtually useless to the purpose of God. And therefore, you will forfeit an eternal reward. And you will wind up under what I call divine chastening instead of enjoying the benefits of the blessings. Now we're coming to the closing of this thing. Which will it be in your life? Chastening or blessings? Which one? If you want the blessings, if you want the blessings he has to offer, you need to ask yourselves several questions. And they are, folks, look, I examine myself a lot. I do. And I constantly have to examine myself. It's almost like taking that magnifying glass and looking at me. I'm not perfect by a long shot. I say some things that don't make people happy. I say some things that make people not feel good. I say some things to people that causes offense. Sometimes I do things that's not right before God. When I know and I shouldn't have, when I listen to some show or whatever, knowing I know what's in that show, but yet I watched it anyway. I have done things, you know what, and I got to constantly take that magnifying glass and constantly keep examining myself and keep asking these questions. And there's several questions I keep asking myself, and I've been doing this lately in my life. And they are you pulling in the loose ends of your life? Do you really want to go into this battle? Do you? Are you committed to the truth? Do you have convictions about the truth? Are you willing to go to war for those convictions? Secondly, I kind of look at some other questions. Do you seek to support that with a holy life? Are you content with your sins? Which way? Thirdly, I look at these questions. Do you have the kind of confidence that it takes to march into the den of a roaring lion? If you do, then it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing if you do. If not, then, folks, find out what's wrong. Find out what's wrong and admit yourself to the truth. Say, you know what? There's some fine-tuning that still needs to be done in my life. Because, folks, if you don't, lacking God's peace is like going barefoot into the battle. If you don't have the full peace of God, you're going into that battle barefoot. You're not properly shodding your feet with the gospel of truth. And I've thought about this when I wrote this, and I pray tonight for all of us. I pray, really I do, and I pray this every day for me and my wife and my friends. I pray that all of us will be well equipped with the gospel. That we will know it very well. That we would embrace it with all of our hearts. That we would put on these gospel shoes. And that we are ready to do and to suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ. Last but not least, pay attention to this. Do you have gospel motives? Not motives, motives. Has the gospel shaped your motives? Have you been so deeply touched by the gospel, by the love of God in Christ for you? Has it lit a flame of love in your own heart for him? Has it? I hope so. I hope so. But if that light, if that love, that flame is going down to a little simmer, examine your heart. Seek God's face. Ask him, Lord, show me what I must do. Because folks, he is the bright, burning sun of love. And we just light the little candle of love in the sun. And that love then becomes the motivation for everything you and I do. And it also for everything that we suffer, for everything we share with others in the name of Jesus Christ, because we have been equipped with this gospel of peace he's given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Has that happened for you? Has it happened for you? If not, think about it. Think about it. Let's pray.